And I call it the secrets of the double portion. How many are ready for that? Say, Pastor Dave, I am ready for the double portion. Amen. We'll get ready to receive. Amen. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of the Lord. So, Father, I thank you that you put this on my heart last Monday when I was walking with you. And it was very clear. And I certainly enjoyed the study. Just got fired up just studying it, just digging into the Word and seeing what the Holy Spirit had to say about this subject. And so, Father, we bless the Word. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Okay, here we go. If you, I like to have sheets like this if you're new here, because that way you remember at least what was said. I mean, no, you can hear a really good word, but if you don't take notes, an hour later you're going, what was that they were talking about? So I want to be a good steward, and I want to give you an opportunity to take good notes without writing the whole time and not looking up. So that's not a good way to do it. But so, Father, we just thank you. And by the way, the Holy Spirit spoke to me that we are going to release the double portion. It's already been given you in the Word of God. We're going to release it through a fire tunnel at the end of the service. We haven't had a fire tunnel in a while. I wasn't even thinking about a fire tunnel. And standing over here, moving into the worship and praise, the Holy Spirit said, fire tunnel time. As the people go through the line, speak double portion over them. All right? So, here we go. We're going to identify what it is. And number one, let's look at Isaiah 61, 6 through 8. We want to lay out the word here this morning so that we get it. Okay, the secrets of the double portion. Well, let's go. Here we go. This is prophetic of our day. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. Everybody say, I'm a priest of the Lord. They shall call you servants, the servants of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. Praise the Lord. How many know when we are translated from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son at salvation, we qualify for this particular verse, right? Instead of our shame, we will have double honor. Well, I didn't deserve it, Lord. Bingo. None of us do, right? It's all through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess what? Double. How many know God wants us to get it into our minds and hearts? This is for today. This is for you. Tell your neighbor, the person next to you, this is for you. Get a hold of it. Therefore, in their land, what land? The land you're living in right now. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. How many know we got that right now, right? Wow. If it was, how many just, we're so glad you were rejoicing and worshiping today and hugging each other. How many know this is just a foretaste of heaven, right? Wow. I mean, this is just a preamble. Okay. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. Quote, for I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery. For burnt offering, I will direct their work in truth and will make them an everlasting covenant. We already have it. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ. All right. So, we'll give you the first fill in here. The double is promised because of the everlasting covenant. Covenant, that's the word, through Jesus Christ. Well, Pastor David, would be real nice if we could have a corroborating scripture with it. Yes, I will give that to you. Let's look at Zechariah chapter 9. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, what? Let everything be established. As for you also, because this is also prophetic of our day. Zechariah was a prophet. As for you also, because of the blood of your covenant. That's the new covenant that was being prophesied. I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. How many of you were prisoners in the waterless pit? You had no direction. You didn't know where you were going. You know, you were lost. you were sick, you were despondent, and then you heard the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it has totally changed you. How many have been totally changed forever by that gospel? Amen? Praise God. So he says, return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Even today I declare that I will restore what? Double to you. Come on now. Are we getting this? We're just starting in this word, all right? This is not something that I thought, well, this would be good to preach on. No, this is truth. It's in the Word of God. God wants us to get a hold of it. All right. The double can also be seen as the hundredfold promise that involves all of life. God uses different symbols or words to communicate the same thought or idea, okay, that he wants us to see and embrace. So let's look at Mark 10. This is Jesus himself speaking here. So Jesus answered and said, Peter has talked to Jesus, and Peter and the disciples, they said, Lord, we've left fathers and mothers and all that, and what are we going to get out of this? Right? So Jesus answered and said, assuredly. Boy, when he says assuredly, that means it's you can write it down, it will happen. Right? He says, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's who shall not receive a hundredfold now. Say now. Say not in the sweet by and by. Say right now. A hundredfold now in this time. And here's the hundredfold. It's the double. It includes all of life. It's not just money. It's all the good things that the gospel will minister to you and bless you with. Houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands. I'm looking out, and you know what I see in this congregation? We see people who've been blessed with houses. I see many brothers here. I see many sisters here. I see mothers here. I see children. We go to your house. We've already landed on your land. Praise the Lord. It'll come with persecutions. Why? Because people will be jealous of you. They will not like it because they don't have what you have. And they don't have any peace because they're not born again. They have no joy for the same reason, right? And so they are jealous. They don't like you until they can receive it. I mean, you know, sometimes we just have to absorb their stuff. I had a guy come up to me in college. And he said, I want you to know, we had just gotten through, we were doing something in the gym, I don't know what it was. But he came at me, he said, you know, I just don't like you. Oh, thank you, sir. I mean, I've just been waiting to hear that. That really makes my day. He said, I have done everything possible to make you angry. And he said, you didn't take the bait. And then he started crying. He said, what do you have? Why couldn't I get you angry? And I said, well, I have to tell you, I haven't enjoyed your fellowship, but it's Jesus Christ has made the difference in my life. So will you pray for me? So people can give you havoc, but sometimes it may just be a test. They're just testing you to see what you got, you know. But when I look out, I see this being fulfilled right now. There are a lot of people, they don't like you because you are a born-again Christian. But how many know God will give you the grace to love them anyway? And it's because you are loving them anyway that they can really get saved, that they can eventually fall on the rock and be broken. Okay, so, you know, as I was just making notes here, I looked, where's Tim Rabelais? Stand up, Brother Tim. Tim is one of our pastors. He's a great brother. He and Diane, great pastors here. And this guy, it looked like for a while they were going to release him. They were going to let him go. Many of you have heard his story. But how many know the Lord had other ideas? How many are glad when the Lord has other ideas? And so instead of being released, he's full-time. Instead of being released, he received stock in the company. And instead of being released, he was given a bonus. Sounds like double to me. Amen. Praise God, Brother Tim. All right. See, we can talk about this as theology, but we need to lay it out as reality. We're talking about as reality. If it wasn't, I would have nothing to do with it. Okay? So, I am loaded for bear, as you can probably tell. Number two. Okay. Number two, the Father began to initiate this promise under the Old Covenant. So let's look at Exodus 16 and 5. Exodus 16 and 5. And it shall be that on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be what? Twice as much as they gather daily. So God was, they were, as they say in the Deep South, they were fixing to enter into the Sabbath rest, right? And they weren't supposed to work on the Sabbath rest. God was laying out a principle that the Sabbath rest spoke about the ultimate rest we would have in Christ, who is the fulfillment of all Sabbaths, right? How many know we have rest in Jesus? We don't have anything to prove when we come to the Lord because we came as just as we were, right? I think the thing that blew my mind, folks, more than anything else, when Jesus first literally appeared to me and poured his love out on me, it was one of those things where, man, I don't deserve this at all. I thought when I met with God, you know, he would scold me or get after me, that kind of thing. I didn't even know if he was real, and I found out big time he was very and is very real, came into the room, surrounded me with his love to the point where I literally thought I was going to die. You've heard that story. But you know what? The thing that hit me so much was, how could he love me that much when I was such a jerk, right? Let me tell you, that's the God we serve. He loves you that much. It's mind-boggling. It's otherworldly, and it is absolutely that. So the Lord is giving us a prelude, okay? So the Father began to initiate this promise under the Old Covenant in order to teach Israel the importance of rest, that's the fill-in, and trust. He gave them a double portion on the sixth day. God, throughout the Scriptures, he gives us truth, and he lays it out line upon line and precept upon precept. That's because he wants us to really get it. He builds a foundation and then builds on that foundation. Okay, number three. This is so cool. This is so important. What has the enemy stolen from you? How many of you can say the enemy has stolen? We're talking about the devil now. The enemy has stolen stuff from me, right? Okay. What has the enemy stolen from you? According to the word, he has to restore double. So let's look at Exodus 22:7, then I'm going to give you an illustration. Okay. Exodus 22:7 says, if a man delivers to his neighbor money or articles to keep, and it is stolen out of the man's house, if the thief is found, he shall pay double. There's the principle again, double. And many of you have heard this story, but guess what? You're going to hear it again. Say, it's okay, Pastor Dave. Okay, good. I can speak it now. A number of years ago, Ian and I had a little house in New Orleans. And we'd get up every morning about 6 for prayer because Pastor Green said we're going to have early prayer 5 days a week. I said, okay. So we're there. So we get up to get in our car and go. We had 2 cars. We had 1 car in the driveway and 1 car was parked right kind of in the grass. I noticed the car that was parked on the grass was gone. And that'll make you have something to pray about, right, when you go to prayer. And I was like, how many know you get up that early and you haven't had your coffee yet, and you look out the window, and you're going, what is going on? Is this real? But it was real. And as the day wore on, I got more and more angry about it. Called the police. They came by and took a report. And then I really got mad in God. How many know that's okay? Bible says, be angry and sin not. So I'm not sinning against anybody, but I'm angry at Satan in these people, that whoever they were that took it. So I'm praying in the Spirit, and all of a sudden, you know, I just said, okay, Satan, I'm delivering a message to you according to this scripture. According to the scripture. If the thief be found, he must restore double. So I said, I am taking this from you. I'm taking it back plus interest. I mean, no, you got to have an attitude. I'm serious. You do. You have to have an attitude, a good one, right? A godly, on fire attitude. And I said, I'm getting this back before midnight tonight. I'm getting the car back before midnight tonight. Do you read me? Yeah, because I'm bold in Christ because of the word. All right? So just before 12, get a phone call. It's the police. Mr. Noel, we found your car, and it's in a sandbank, and you're going to need somebody to take it out of the sandbank, and it's going to need some work. Some wires were cut. I said, go ahead and call somebody to get it out, and I'll come out. I think Ina got up and took me to the place, and I said, I'll ride back with the guy who's going to pull my car back to the house. So I'm talking to Satan. I said, okay, I got the car back, but I'm taking more from you. You don't mess with me. I'm taking more from you. I'm taking back more. I mean, no, you got to. Hollywood would paint the devil as powerful as God. How many know he's defeated? And Jesus stripped him of all his power. All he can do is lie to you. He's a great liar, but that's all he can do, regardless of what Hollywood says. So I get out there. And I'm talking to this policeman, and he's overseeing the excavation of the car, pulling it out of the sand. And he says, so you're a pastor? I said, yes, sir. And he said, well, you know, I'm looking for a school for my child. Do you have a Christian school? I said, we sure do. It's a great one. I said, we have quite a few students. He said, could I have the number of the school? Because I think I want to send my child there. I said, sure, here it is. I said, that's another one, and I'm not through with you. Here comes the guy in the truck to pull it out of the sand and take me back to the house. So he gets it. It's all tied up. He says, "You can come on, Rev." Said, get up in the cab with me. He said, you can ride with me. I said, good. So tell me what your name is again. So he told me. I said, well, do you know a lady named so-and-so? He said, yeah, that's my mom. I said, we baptized her a couple weeks ago. And you know what? I said, your mother and I prayed for you. Oh, yeah. I said, you've been running from God a long time, haven't you? Led him to Jesus right there. I said, you don't mess with me, boy. You don't do that. But that's the kind of attitude you got to have. Well, I'm not a fighter. Well, you better start being one. I'm not talking about hitting people. I'm talking about, the Bible says, we wrestle not with what? Flesh and blood, but powers and principalities in high places. But they've been defeated. You got to know your place in God. That's what I'm trying to say to you. Wow. You might have anger for a little guy. You know what I'm talking about. Number four. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God. Say, but God that gives the increase. The Lord is your increase. He's the one that brings the increase. Hallelujah to God. So Ruth, how many remember Ruth in the Bible? Ruth received an ephah of corn. That is a 10-day supply. But it was Boaz, that's the fill-in, a type of Christ who made it happen. How many know God will have you at the right place at the right time? Absolutely. Ruth chapter 2, verse 16. This is Boaz saying now, "So also let grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean and do not rebuke her." So, you know, in the job that you have, and you get promoted and you get blessed, you say, "Wow, this is pretty cool. God's answering my prayers." That's because your heavenly Boaz is for you, Jesus, and he's making it happen. I saw this happen with my dad. My dad was an alcoholic. I never knew him as an alcoholic, though, because by the time he got set free, I was a little guy, but I remember he was already going to church and going to AA meetings because they really didn't have any support groups in the church. He met a guy. Well, first of all, he was so grateful to the Lord. And many of you have heard this story too, but he was so grateful he found a crumpled up $5 bill in a low leather jacket while he was out raking leaves in some, I think it was October sometime in New Jersey. And he comes running to the house. He grabs me and he grabs my mom and we start dancing. I don't know why we were dancing. But he said, I found $5. He had nothing. And he said, "I'm giving this to God." He said, "I've been reading in Malachi that I can prove God in that area." And he brought it to church. And then on Monday, he gets a phone call from the guy who was his sponsor. His name is Les Talbot. It just so happened that Les Talbot had a seat on the stock exchange. And that very, very few people have that. And so Les Talbot said, "Henry, do you need a job?" My dad said, "I really do. I need a job." He said, "Well, I thought so." He said, I want you to report to this particular firm because," he said, "they will take you in and train you as a security analyst and then eventually stockbroker." And that was the beginning of my, and then he looked at my dad and he said, "Oh, by the way, how are you fixed for wheels?" My dad said, "Well, I got a car," but he said, "it's in really bad shape." He said, "Well, I've already talked to my brother-in-law, and he's going to sell you the car, but you don't have to pay him. It's a year old, and it's a really nice car, and he's got another car, too, and he doesn't really need this one. It's in good shape. And you can pay him when you start getting some work." And so then my dad gets a call the next day, or gets a letter in the mail from somebody he didn't even – nobody knew what my parents were going through. Anyway, it was enough money, a check for enough money to pay all our debts. And that happened within the course of 1 week, right? So how many know we have a heavenly Boaz that is looking out for us? These are not just Bible stories, folks. This is reality. You know, these stories are real. Okay, let's look at the next one. Number 5, Romans 5:1. The peace of Jesus. Let's look at that one. "Therefore, having been justified by faith," say that's me, right? And God, when we use that word justified, it means just as if we've never sinned. Wow. "Because of the blood of Christ. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace." Say, "I have peace." "With God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Okay, so let's give you the fill in here. The peace of Jesus brings total shalom. That's the Hebrew word for peace. But it's more than just peace. Shalom means peace, health, prosperity, and well-being. Say, "I vote for that." We undervalue the real depth of this verse, the peace of God. How many of you remember when you first had the peace of God invade your life? Huh? How many are glad it's still there? Amen. Regardless of how many times we may blow it or make mistakes, he's such a good God because his blood is continually. Bible says if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another and the blood of Jesus Christ, 1 John 1:7, continually cleanses us from all sin. Boy, that's, wow, that's awesome. There are times we need to repent. There's times we need to go to people and make it right. Those are, but the Holy Spirit will let you know that. So some of you have heard this story, but it's such a good story, and I've got to give it to you again. I'm speaking in Michigan. The date is the winter of 1996. And in that 1 year, 96, spring of 96 to spring of 97, I think I was in about 70 churches speaking. And so I'm in this one church, and I have an altar call. And we have people come down to for salvation. I noticed this one particular lady came down, and she looked so beat up and so sick. And it was, she came down, she's crying at the altar. And then I said, all right, I'm going to have a call now for people that need healing. And she stayed right there, raised her hand, I need healing. So the altar team laid hands on her. And then the third call was for people that needed financial help. And she stayed down there at the altar. Hand went up, I need financial help. So she wound up getting saved, prayed for healing, prayed for her finances. So I started on a Saturday, and I wound up finishing that particular meeting on a Wednesday evening. So I come to the church a little bit early, and this person comes at the same time that I'm opening the door. She's a lady. I'm opening it for her. I look at her, and I said, dear, are you, were you here Sunday? She said, yes. Were you the lady that got prayed for salvation, for healing, and for finances? She went, the same. She said, you want to hear my story? I said, yeah, I do. She said, they let me out of the hospital. I was dying. I'm no longer dying. God healed me completely. I went back to the doctor on Monday, and she said when I came back, she said there was a special delivery at my door, and it was money of $22,000. Yeah. So the Lord saved her, healed her, and enabled her to get out of debt. They call it in hockey a hat trick, all right? But how many know, I mean, that's how many know that's double, that's a hundredfold, however you want to say it. How many know God is in that business? And if you need him to be that way for you, he will be there for you. All right, lean over and tell your neighbor, hope you got that. Okay. Okay, let's look at number six, Job 42, 10 and 12. How many used to think that was Job when you first... I don't know, no Job. But was it? Okay, here we go. Ina just found out. I mean, no. Okay, and the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Ooh. How many know you can't hold a grudge? Tell your neighbor you can't hold a grudge. Say, you got to forgive. But I don't feel like it. Oh, that's when especially you need to do it, right? And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed. Oh, I love the indeed. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice. There's that twice. There's that double. Say, there's that double. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Wow. Now, the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. How many will sign up for that? Sure, absolutely. For he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. That's double everything he had. Wow. That's old covenant stuff. We're in the new covenant. And even as I'm talking to you, you know, if while I'm saying about this forgiveness thing, if a face appears to you and you... How many know that's the Holy Spirit saying, he's talking to you. How about making a call this afternoon? Huh? Say, you're you're picking on me, Dave. Okay. All right. I better move on. People looking for stones. You know, I'm just kidding you. You're a great group. You're a great group. You really are awesome. All right, let's look at Joel 2, 23 through 27. This is the last one here. Be glad then, you children of Zion. Say, that's me. And rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you, we're going to explain this in a minute, he has given you the former rain, we'll give you understanding, the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. That's in the natural, that's impossible. All right? Now let's stop, let me stop right there. Well, no, I'll read it and I'll go back. The threshing floor shall be full of wheat. The vat shall be overflow with new wine and oil. So, the Bible says, I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, prophetic of the attack of the enemy. The crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust, my great army, which I sent among you. Let me know. Okay. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be put to shame. Wow. Then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. And my people shall never be put to shame. Said it double, said it twice, wants us to get it. Okay, so let's look at this final fill-in. Amen. Note the promise of the double. The former rain was the seed rain. That's the fill-in, the seed rain. And the latter rain was the harvest rain. The results are the blessings of life. Look at this. Wheat speaks of our daily bread. Wine speaks of the joy of the Lord and our fellowship with each other. How many are happy that you have the joy of the Lord? Absolutely. It's different than just happiness, right? And oil speaks of God's anointing upon our lives. There's purpose. God has given you purpose. He anoints you for a purpose, right? The result, lost years are restored. How many know God is in the business of restoring lost years? You know, you say, oh, Pastor Dave, you know, I've been walking in circles for years. And, you know, I feel so dry. And yet, but and you say, I feel so empty. And you think God will ever forgive me? Yes, he already has. All you got to do is accept it. He's got a great purpose for you, a great plan for you. Just open your heart a little bit, start believing, and you're going to. We're going to have this tunnel in a minute, and we're going to release the blessing of God. We're going to hear testimonies come as a result. I honestly believe that this, just looking at the seed rain and the latter rain, in the natural, they came in two different months. But spiritually, they can come all at once. Bless you. I have actually sown in the morning a seed for something and reaped in the afternoon. So we did the seed, we saw the seed rain in the morning and the harvest rain in the afternoon. I'm just breaking this down for you so we don't get too spiritual here. It is a spiritual concept. But I don't want us to say, oh, I don't understand. No, we need to be concrete with this, right? And I believe God's going to release this in your life. How many believe that? I believe that when our team lays hands on you as you come through the tunnel today, that there's going to be an impartation because you heard the word and you had the faith to get up and go through the tunnel. I believe God's going to do something very special for you. How many of you are saying, I am ready for that? Let me see your hands. Okay. See, the Lord loves you tremendously, and he wants to so encourage you. So, let's get ready. You could help move this back. Somebody could help move this back. And then I'd like our altar team to come, and they're going to get in a tunnel shape here. And then our ushers will instruct you as to how to come, how to go. All right. And we'll be walking through this way. Walking through this way. And as you walk through, you don't stop, you just walk through if you've never been through a tunnel. And we're going to lay hands on you and speak blessing over you. You already have the double portion. You already have it. But we want to activate it in your life. I mean, no, you can have you can have a truth, you can believe a truth, but you need that truth to be activated, right? And so God does not just want us to hear it and say, well, that was interesting. You know, that was interesting, and I'll check it out sometime. No, the Bible says the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. That means you have to not just hear it, but you say, no, I'm taking that. Like I had some violence going for me against the enemy that time when our car was stolen. You got to say, somebody's talking to you. But I'm not going to take no for an answer. I am not going to take no for an answer. I'm going to receive what Jesus has already purchased for me. Wow. So as soon as we get set, I tell you what. I want you to just stretch forth your hand toward them, and we're going to speak blessing over them so that as you come down,